Our next speaker is Holly Taylor, who's going to speak to us about Brady and the Michael Morton Act. She serves as the Assistant Director for Post-Conviction Matters and Complex Litigation Support in the Civil Rights Division of the Travis County District Attorney's Office. She previously was a staff attorney and the rules attorney for the Court of Criminal Appeals. She's taught advanced legal writing as an adjunct professor at Texas School of Law. She received her BA from Rice and her master's degree from LBJ School of Public Affairs, and her JD from the University of Texas School of Law. She's board certified in criminal appellate law and a Texas Bar College member. She is a very, very knowledgeable person. She's a very great speaker, and we're very glad to have her. And so please welcome Holly Taylor.
Thank you. That was very kind. So yesterday, about this time of day, I was watching Jennifer Lauren speak, and I think Jennifer Lauren is a fantastic speaker, as is Judge Newell. But at that moment yesterday, when Jennifer Lauren was speaking, I started to feel a little bit sleepy, and I realized that's about the time of day that everybody has, that sort of mid-afternoon slump. And then I went, wait, that's when I'm speaking tomorrow. So if you are having that mid-afternoon slump and you didn't get a snack outside, you will not offend me if you run outside and grab a cookie or something. So anyway, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Judge Newell. And I am going to be talking about Brady and the Michael Morton Act, but that's actually not going to be the main emphasis of my presentation. So we're going to talk a little bit about Brady versus Maryland, just a little bit, a couple of decisions after that, Brady's progeny. Then we're also going to talk about the Michael Morton Act. We're going to get into a little bit of detail about that. But we're going to talk a lot more about Watkins versus State, the landmark decision that Judge Newell had some involvement with, from 2021, which has impacted all the subsequent cases interpreting the Michael Morton Act and Brady. And so we're going to focus more on those recent cases. I don't have enough time to really talk about that many of them here in my presentation, but there are more in the paper. And so please refer to the paper for a more complete list. It's not absolutely complete, but it's got more cases that you might want to read about. So jumping back in time to the early 1960s, this photo is just here to provide you with sort of some context as to the real people that were involved in Brady versus Maryland. This is Charles D. Boblett and John L. Brady, who were involved in the incident that led to Brady versus Maryland. Brady and Boblett were convicted of murder, and they were both sentenced to death. Brady testified, and he admitted his participation in the crime, but he argued that Boblett was the person who actually killed the victim. And Brady's attorney had asked for a Boblett's extrajudicial statements, and he had been provided with some of those, but he had not been provided with Boblett's statement in which he admitted that he was the one who killed the victim. That one was withheld. So ultimately, that resulted in a reversal and a retrial as to punishment. The Supreme Court held that a prosecutor has a duty to disclose evidence favorable to the defendant upon request. And a due process violation occurs if withheld evidence is material, both favorable and material, to either guilt or punishment, irrespective of the good faith or the bad faith of the prosecution. And this is important because we're going to draw a distinction between the definition of material that we have here in Texas with regard to the Morton Act. But material for Brady purposes means there is a reasonable probability that had the evidence been disclosed, the result of the proceeding would have been different. So real quick, Kyles versus Whitley. Now we've jumped forward in time to 1995. Prosecutors have a duty to learn of any evidence favorable to the defense that is known to others acting on the government's behalf in the case, and that includes the police. And the term that we use nowadays often when discussing these cases is the prosecution team. We're talking about evidence in the possession of the prosecution team. And now we're not talking about Kyles, we're talking about Bagley, but the Supreme Court has been clear that there is not a meaningful difference in the Brady context between exculpatory evidence that might show, for example, actual innocence and impeachment evidence. So for Brady purposes, we're talking about both of those.